Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we consider this passage of Scripture, which will be the foundation for what we'll study this morning from your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that our hearts would be tender, receptive to your word. Lord, I pray that we would change in light of it, as your Holy Spirit does that wonderful work of grace in our hearts. And now, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who is listening to this message, either today or later on our website, who does not yet know you personally as Savior, maybe they've made a profession of salvation, maybe they've prayed a prayer, but they really do not know you. They don't understand what it means to receive you as Savior, to trust you as Savior, and to grow in their knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that today might be the day that you open their eyes and they might see their need to make sure of salvation before it's too late. Now, Lord, we rejoice in your word and ask that you would just work in a mighty way in my heart as a messenger and in the hearts of those who are hearing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christmas has always been the one time of year that is uniquely characterized by excitement and joy, sharing and giving. Even the unsaved, both rich and poor, find it the one time of year when they climb out of their problems and try to be kind and enjoy at least hearing about unselfish acts and attitudes. They attribute it to the Christmas spirit, whatever that may be. They don't understand what that is. They just, you know, call it that. But rarely do they take time to figure out why all this joy and peace and love is part of Christmas. Today, we're going to take the angel's announcement to the shepherds in verse 10 and examine it phrase by phrase in order to understand why it was such good news of great joy. We as Christians, and by that I mean truly born-again believers, have a unique opportunity at Christmas to tell the good news of great joy to our unsaved family, friends, and neighbors, co-workers, and others that we may meet. Let's examine the first part of the angel's announcement. Notice in verses 8 through 10, "Do not be afraid." In the same region, verse 10, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Notice the contrast. The shepherds were afraid at the appearance of the bright Shekinah glory, the glory of God's holiness. When you've been sitting in darkness for so long, sudden light is frightening, especially when it is the pure light from heaven, which would naturally outshine the sun. Notice the context here. The shepherds were afraid at the appearance of the bright Shekinah glory and the angel from heaven. When you become aware of God's glory, the glory of his holiness, your sinfulness becomes more glaringly apparent. You cry along with the prophet Isaiah, "Woe is me," as you realize your own sinfulness in the light of God's holiness. Living in a day and age today in which sin is laughed at and shrugged at and even praised, there are so few people who understand the importance of God's holiness. Notice the context. When you witness to unsaved family members, friends, and neighbors, the one thing that they will notice in the gospel message is the idea of their sin. They don't like that part. Sometimes they are angry, like Cain was back in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, when his sin was exposed. They are angry that their self-righteousness is not accepted. Sometimes they are afraid to acknowledge their sin. They will try to pass the blame onto someone else or try to rationalize it away. These shepherds became aware of their own sinfulness when faced with God's angels. For every person, the first step from experiencing great fear to experiencing great joy is true awareness of your own sinfulness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we're told, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Of course, that death is not just physical death, because everyone dies, but rather the second death spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, and Revelation 21, verse 8. Let's examine the second part of the angel's announcement. "For behold, I bring you good news." This is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news.'" Why were they not to be afraid? Because the angel brought a wonderful, joyful message straight from God. Why is it good news? First of all, it is good news because God loves us and wants us to know how he has taken care of our sin problem. Look, notice the phrase in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, if you have your Bible open there. "Peace among men with whom he is pleased." God has come personally to reconcile sinful man to himself. True peace takes place only when there is peace with God. So how did this sin problem happen in the first place? Well, God records that for us in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis. God created the entire universe, including our earth and everything in it, in six literal 24-hour days about 6,000 years ago, not millions or billions of years ago. The culmination of God's creation was man, as we read in Genesis chapter 1. As I said, I have dry mouth syndrome, got to get the next glass. All right. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. If you want to, you can read along in your Bibles, not out loud, but let me do the out loud reading. Verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Notice a couple things here. Number one, God created man as a male and a female, whom God named Adam and Eve, and told them to fill the earth with their descendants. The second truth here, God declared that everything he had created, including man, was very good. In other words, there was no sin yet in the world. So where, when, and why did sin happen then? Well, it happened as a result of Adam's failing man's first test of obedience. The only way that man could truly demonstrate his love for God was through the choice God gave him to obey one simple rule, as we read in Genesis chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles open at Genesis 1, turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Skip to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. And then would you turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, has God said, You shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? And the woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, I notice it's getting cool in here. Everybody else notice that?
Let's adjust that a little bit here. All right.
I figure if I was feeling a little chill, it's got to be really cold. Okay. All right. As you can see from these passages in the first three chapters of Genesis, Adam disobeyed God's command and God carried out his promised judgment. Adam and Eve died spiritually the very day they sinned. Can I say that again? Adam and Eve died spiritually the very day they sinned, as God had promised. By the way, keep in mind that death is separation from life. When your body dies, your body has separated from its life. When your spirit dies, you are separated from God, who is life. And therefore, God truly said the day they ate of that fruit, they would die. They did die. They were separated from God. And as well, they began to die physically until they died and turned to dust. In the Hebrew, the way it reads is, in dying you shall die. Hebrew uses a different way of forming things to try to emphasize something. But the idea there is that they began to die and they would eventually turn to dust. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declared in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. All Adam's descendants, including you and me, are born with a sin nature. And because we began to sin as soon as we exercised our wills, we all deserve God's judgment on sin, as we can read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In summer, when we have vacation Bible time for the children, I will read this verse and I will add, for all have sinned except for Pastor Fawcett, right? And they all like, and some kids will actually nod their heads and I say, no. All means all. That means me, it means you, it means everyone. So please understand, all means all, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In fact, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now the verse goes on to say some good news, but the problem is that our sin has earned us the penalty of death. And that death spoken of here is not just physical death, as it's explained in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And in chapter 21, verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. By the way, that list there, most of that sounds pretty bad. Murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters. But notice, unbelieving is all it takes. not trusting Christ as Savior. Liars, that's all it takes. And as I go through this place, I ask individuals very often, so are you a liar? Oh, no, I'm not a liar. I say, well, tell me, how many murders does it take to make you a murderer? Well, one. So, well, then how many lies does it take for you to become a liar? Just one. And so I say, you know what? Everybody is a liar. That pretty much captures everyone here, doesn't it? So keep that in mind. That is not good news so far. But wait, there truly is good news to follow. Romans 6:23 starts with the bad news, but quickly declares the good news. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So getting back to Luke chapter 2, it is good news because God loves us and wants us to know how he has taken care of our sin problem. Secondly, it is good news because God has provided the perfect substitute to take our punishment for us. A Savior, the promised Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In John chapter 3, verse 16, probably the most memorized verse in the Bible, and if you haven't done that yet, memorize it. The gospel, in a nutshell, is found in this verse, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that means trusts in him as Savior, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus paid it all. We can do nothing to merit salvation because he has done it all. That is indeed good news. Let's examine the third part of the angel's announcement, which will be for all the people. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Why else is it such good news? Because the offer of salvation, of eternal life, is not just for the Jews. It is for all the people. That means Gentiles too. By the way, if you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. Everybody got that? Okay, you're just two people in the world, Jews and Gentiles, that's it. And so, praise the Lord, everyone, whoever believes, every man, woman, and child who repents of his sins and trusts Christ alone to save him can be saved. John 3, verse 16 again, for God so loved the world, which includes you and me. Praise the Lord for that wonderful good news. Let's examine the fourth part of the angel's announcement. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I mentioned this part of the angel's announcement last because this is the end result of the good news. Joy is the natural reaction of a soul who receives Christ as Savior and Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, we read this, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. In another example, do you remember the account in Acts chapter 16 of the Philippian jailer who was given charge to imprison Paul and Silas? How many remember that? Okay. If not, read in Acts chapter 16 and you'll get the whole account there. Acts chapter 16, verse 34. And he brought them into his house, speaking of the jailer, he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. When you trust Christ as Savior, there is joy. Oh, listen, there's also joy in bringing a lost person to trust Christ as Savior. I remember the first time that I ever led a lost person to Christ. And I don't think I quit walking on air for a week. What a joy it is to know here was someone who was heading for hell and now is safe in the arms of Jesus. There are a number of individuals that I have led to the Lord over the years, and now they're with the Lord. And because when my heart's full, my eyes leak, sorry about that. But you know, the joy, even through the tears, is knowing that they're safe forever. What a joy it is to be able to help someone to come to Christ, to trust him as Savior, and to know that they are safe forever in his arms. Yes, joy is the natural reaction of a soul who receives Christ as Savior and Lord. As well, joy is the mark of the Christian who is in a right relationship with his Lord and Savior. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next word? Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, listen, this joyful Christian is daily confessing his sins to God and experiencing his forgiveness and cleansing. This joyful Christian is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This joyful Christian is walking in the Spirit, in other words, consciously submitting himself to the Holy Spirit's control by obeying God's word daily and depending on his enablement to do it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? In closing, let me ask you an important question. Are you experiencing that joy we have read about in God's word today? Do those around you sense in you that great joy that comes from having trusted Christ as Savior, and then from living in fellowship with him and his people? That joy which is not a false or temporary merriment brought about because it's expected at this season or because you are getting what you want. If you are not experiencing this joy, could it be that you have not yet repented of your sins and trusted Christ alone to save you from sin and hell? If you're not 100% sure of this, please talk with me after the service. Let me show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you're listening on Zoom or later on our website, please contact me by email or texting so that we can set up a time to talk and I can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Christian, if you're not experiencing this joy announced by the angels at Christ's birth, make right with God whatever is keeping you from that joy today. May you ask God for opportunities and courage and wisdom to tell others the good news of great joy this season, especially. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for that angelic announcement to the shepherds. Thank you, Lord, that it was announced to those who were not just middle income, but lower middle income individuals. They weren't famous. They weren't rich. They weren't well known. But Lord, they had hearts that were ready to respond to the gospel. They had hearts that were ready to go to the Savior, to find out if the angel's announcement was true. And then when they found the Lord Jesus, they believed the angel's announcement about him being the Savior. Oh Lord, I thank you that we have so much more resources available to us. We have the entire Bible finished, completed, and we can read it, we can hear it preached. We can compare scripture with scripture. We can make sure we understand every nuance of truth. And we can know the Savior. Oh Lord, I thank you for the wonderful good news of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ as a free gift if we will repent and trust Christ alone to save us from sin and hell. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of not only that salvation that no one can take from us, but Lord, because we are your children now, born into your family by faith in Christ, we have your assurance of your grace, your enablement, your strength, your power to live the Christian life gloriously, victoriously. Thank you, Lord, for these assurances. May we realize our need to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, I pray that as we look to our Lord Jesus, not just at Christmas time, not just as a baby in the manger, but as the Savior who died on the cross and rose again to complete that salvation that he wrought. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful gift of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation in him. I pray that you would fill our hearts with joy and also courage to tell others of our wonderful Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.